Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, June 20th, 2024. Have your host, James, with you. And right now, we're being joined by our good friend, Jen McNelly, Natural Resource Groundwater Educator for UW-Madison Division of Extension. Jen, good to have you with us.
Hey, glad to be here.
Always appreciate the time. And I have to always tell the audience, not only do I learn, but I know they do every time you join us. And there's always an interesting conversation to be had. And today, we're going to be getting into the perception and managing water on our property.
Yeah.
Fantastic subject for today.
Right? Super timely, given especially how much rain we've had over this last week. It seems to be the topic of conversation for everyone.
So where would you like to start with this topic? Because this is a pretty big one.
Yeah. So you know what? The question that we're getting asked a lot is it a wet year? Have we had a lot of rain? It certainly feels wet, but, you know, given last year, we had pretty dry conditions last year. In fact, it was classified as kind of drought conditions.
Was it? Oh.
Yeah. So to go from one extreme to kind of the other, you know, feels like a little bit of whiplash to a certain degree. But the short answer to that question is, yeah, it is a wet year. So typically Wood County receives about 31 inches of rain or precipitation in a given year. From January to May of this year, we've already received almost 17 and a half inches.
Wow.
And in the month of May alone, we had 8 inches, which is almost double what our typical average is. And that's not even factoring in June, which we know has been quite wet as well. So yeah, it is a wetter than average year for us.
Okay, it's great to actually have we have our feelings and we know how we feel and what we see and everything, but it's good to know statistically what that is, and and it's important to know these things, not only because we have certain parts of our community here that are more prone to flooding, but just even being aware of this stuff I think really helps, as you mentioned, last year going into this year and going forward even.
Absolutely.
So what does all this rain mean for our water resources?
Sure. So it means a couple of different things. You know, the easy ones to see and to kind of gauge are our surface waters. So, you know, lakes typically in a wet year have a little bit higher lake levels, which you can see. It sometimes takes some time for those levels to respond to what's happening, you know, in rainfall and stuff. But so generally they're going to be a little bit fuller. Our rivers and streams are going to have more stream flow, or they're going to have more water flowing through them. So they're going to be a little bit quicker, a little bit faster, which is important to know if you're recreating on them. You know, you want to be aware of those conditions. The one that most people don't see, though, is our groundwater, which is connected to our surface water. So as rain falls on the ground, it really has two options. It can run off or fall directly in our surface waters. Or it soaks into the ground. And once it soaks into the ground, it becomes groundwater. And that affects how much precipitation we have, affects how much soaks into the ground. And it can raise or lower our groundwater levels. So in a wet year, we can have higher groundwater levels. And in extreme cases, we can even have something called groundwater flooding, which is where groundwater comes above the land surface.
Oh, yeah. I think we've seen that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a few years ago, we saw that a lot in, like, Adams County down there. You know, and that's a pretty extreme case. And then the other thing that it can really affect is the runoff. Like I said, when it runs off into our surface waters, a lot of times the amount of water running off isn't the issue. It's what that runoff carries with it. It carries a lot of debris, certain types of pollutants, and excess nutrients. And that really can have an effect on our surface waters. You know, debris reduces visibility in the water, which is important for our aquatic life. And those nutrients can fuel things like algal blooms. And in fact, you know, I was talking to the county health department the other day. They test the beaches in Wood County on a regular. And they are struggling this year with some beach closures due to high bacteria counts. And when I talked to Ben Jeffries over in the health department, he was saying, you know, a lot of times that has to do with the precipitation. After we have a big rain event, we see these bacteria levels spike. And so it's important for people to just kind of be aware of those issues before they're going out and recreating.
Yeah. And you know, what this affects and the why it's so important to know these things are things that we'll talk about throughout the conversation here and maybe hit on before we wrap up. But it's important stuff, and it really affects almost everything walk of life, whether you're talking in the economy, taxes, certainly talking, you know, recreational stuff, like you mentioned there, Jen, and so many other things. We'll get into that more as we go. But does lots of perception impact me? I'm just wondering about myself here. No. But the general me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's lots of pros and cons to having a wet year. Obvious ones, you don't have to water your lawn as much. It's a great thing.
That sounds good. Right? Just stop right there.
Exactly. decreased risk of fire or wildfires. There's a lot of great things that go with it. It can be a challenge, though, too. You know, while our agricultural communities also appreciate not having to water their fields or irrigate as much, it is certainly a challenge for them to get out and plant. And you might be noticing that in some of the fields. You know, you're not seeing the green sprouts just because planting has been so mucked up with wet fields and getting machinery out there. So that's a challenge to them. And that's obviously going to have an economic impact, like you said, for those communities. Risk of potential flooding. You know, I think I got a warning today that we're in a potential flood advisory, which can have a big, significant impact on some folks. And then, you know, even going, you and I are wet basements. That's one that we get a lot of questions about in these wet conditions. So it certainly has the impacts across, you know, the spectrum of everyone.
My parents really appreciate you bringing up the basement thing. I want to say it was about 2 weeks ago they had flooding in their basement, and they haven't had it in years.
Yeah.
And it's something that they were prepared for when the last time it happened. And then this time came around, and sure enough, lost a couple things. And even though they were prepared for all this, it still happened with like that. So it's something to keep in mind. One of the ways to keep an eye on this is to keep an eye on rainfall and how that is affecting our, not only our personal lawns and houses, but of course our communities.
And
Jillian, what can I do to manage water and perception on my property? We can only do so much with the rain coming down. We can't stop that.
Right.
Mother Nature does not stop for anybody.
No.
She is queen, and we understand that.
Yep,
we respect
exactly.
Mother Nature. Shout out Mother Nature. But there are things we can do to kind of counter this.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things is to be aware of what's happening. So, you know, common ones that we tell folks, if you have gutters or downspouts, really watch where those gutters or downspouts are headed. The farther you can move water away from your property or, you know, especially your home, the better. That does not mean direct your downspouts towards your neighbor's house or directly into a lake.
That's a good point.
Are things we don't advocate for. But if you have a vegetated area or someplace where, you know, it doesn't really matter if it's going to get wet, those are great areas to direct those downspouts to. Even better, if you can use a rain barrel and capture that water, you know, then you don't run the risk of it affecting somebody else. And then you can use that water at a later time. Vegetation is always helpful. If we can slow down water and give it a chance to soak into the ground, that's ideal. Paved surfaces are really hard for us to manage water on. So you'll see things like rain gardens or, you know, depressions where we can get that water to flow to. It can have a chance to sit there, soak in, filter out any of that debris or nutrients. I think Anna was in talking about yes. prairie plants last
yeah,
time. Those are great plants for the same reason that they can help us control water as well. And if you have a really wet basement, you're probably looking at something like either a French drain or a tiling system. But those really require some specialized expertise in designing. But there are ways to kind of handle that as well.
Especially if it's a consistent issue for you and everything.
Right.
We've got a lot of great people in this area that do that kind of work. Encourage you to reach out to them for that.
Yeah.
And we're speaking with Jen McNally, natural resource groundwater educator with UW-Madison Division of Extension. Jen, you mentioned rain barrels, and I did want to touch on that just for a second. One, because I've got a lot of students that I've worked with that are in their early 20s that are kind of discovering these things that have been around for a very long time, but to them, they're brand new.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing these actually in a lot of urban areas, too, which is really unique and cool to see. And then there are people in rural areas like this area, like my parents and others that are looking into these that have never necessarily looked into them before. And one of the first things that a lot of people are saying, well, this is very affordable. This is a very affordable thing to be able to have in your house, right outside your house.
Absolutely. I mean, you can really use any container that can hold water. It's a great chance to recycle and reuse other containers. You know, you've seen the big plastic containers on farms. I've seen people use those as rain barrels. old garbage cans, you know, or if you really want to go like an aesthetic route, like whiskey barrels even. Anything that holds water can really be used as a rain barrel. As long as you direct the water into it and it can hold it, you know, you're good to go. So
it gives you, as you touched on, chances to reuse that water for other things, and certainly keeping it out of the ground and helping yourself. So it's true win-win kind of situation.
Yeah. And it's a pretty simple, affordable thing that folks can do too. You know, it really doesn't require any high technology, any expertise in order to put it in place. You know, if you put a thread attachment on it, then you can even hook a hose up to it and you reuse it later.
There's a lot of ways to be able to use those. Encourage you to look into that. Jen, I imagine that I know our meteorologist, Brittany, joins us every morning. And one of the things that I know she's getting a little tired of, and I imagine that some people in this field get tired of hearing, but the question being asked over and over, is this weather going to be the new normal? Is this the new norm? That's a phrase you've been hearing a lot of since for years now. But this is something that I know a lot of people are probably asking. And you've had, this isn't the first time you've been asked.
No, it's a question that we get asked all the time in drought conditions and wet conditions, like, is this what it's going to be? And like you said, Mother Nature is queen. So, you know, we don't have a crystal ball to say exactly what's going to happen in the future. Ups and downs, dry and wet, is always normal. You know, that going back hundreds of years, if you look at precipitation, you know, the fluctuation between the two. So not uncommon to go for a dry year to a wet year. Where we get a little bit more into kind of like the science of it is with climate scientists and kind of what they're predicting for the future. You know, if you look at our weather, it's changing. Yeah. There's not a whole lot of denial in that. The thing that the climate scientists are predicting for the state of Wisconsin is that it is supposed to be wetter, warmer and wetter. Yeah, it may be it may be the new normal that we're above average in precipitation each year. And so then it becomes, okay, well, what's the new average when we look at that? The other thing, you know, a little bit warmer and wetter, probably not a big deal for most folks when they're trying to deal with it. The one thing that I find really interesting about their predictions, though, is not only the amount of precipitation, but how that precipitation is going to fall. You know, if you think back, it used to be a pretty common thing for us where we would have like these nice drizzly days where it would kind of rain all day long and really slow, not a ton of, you know, precipitation, but it would fall over a longer time period. And those, it looks like that's going to change. And we're going to get less of those, you know, long rainy days that we would typically expect. And we're going to get shorter, more intense storms. And that really becomes a challenge when we talk about how we manage this precipitation. Because if we're having these really intense, hard rainfalls, no matter what type of vegetation we have on the ground, it doesn't allow it to soak in. And so we're looking at more runoff. We're looking at kind of even infrastructure, how do our storm drains and storm sewers handle, you know, that increased precipitation that's falling faster and harder? And it kind of circles back to our own management of it, too. How do we handle these really short, intense storms that we're not used to?
You bring up nothing but great points, Jen. One thing I would like to go back to a little bit is the history of weather and the history of weather in your area, wherever you're listening to us. I'm a big believer in talking more and more about how two things can be true at once. You could chew gum and walk at the same time, these kind of things. Climate change is real, and it's something that we have to face and deal with. It's not so much about us as it is future generations and them being able to enjoy this beautiful planet we have. Yeah. It's important, and it's not, if I could be blunt, it's not about you. It's about us. It's about the future. It's about so much more than just one individual or one individual's home or any of these things. But one thing also to keep in mind, too, is that this doesn't mean that it's the end of all things or what have you or all this kind of. It seems like we have to go to such extremes on both sides with this, where it's such a middle grounded thing. It's such a gray area thing. Yeah. If you do look at the history, let's just talk about this area. Jen told you a little bit of it. It's for one, I'm a history nerd, so I of course, promoting this. But it is important because it gives context and a little bit more like, oh, well, they dealt with this in 1842 or something. Like it doesn't mean that these things aren't important, that paying attention to climate change and some of this stuff isn't important, because a lot of these things are happening much more consistent. But it does also give a little bit of I would say, grace to the subject in some ways of, hey, we can do this. We can survive this. We can manage this. They did it in 1842. I mean, who are we in 1924 or 2024 to not be able to do it?
Right. Absolutely. And that's a case of learning from our past, yeah. You know, and how do we adapt and handle these things? And how do we prepare for them? I think if we just stick our heads in the sand and ignore it, that's what's going to get us into trouble.
Yes.
But, you know, if we can take what we know and what, you know, even what's climate scientists are predicting and are, okay, how do we design and how do we prepare ourselves for this? I think that's where we have opportunities to learn and to grow.
And speaking of learning, I think that that's another key part of this too, being informed. And certainly we touched on a couple of different ways to do this. But for those listening, those wondering, where can people go for more information on this? Because like we learn from Extension all the time, no matter who the guest is, knowledge is not just power, it's life. And it's such a key part of it, you know, bringing down some of the dismay or some of the pushback on some of these subjects. It's you're not going to push back. You're not going to really stop people from thinking or feeling what they do. And you shouldn't want to. But what you should be doing is spreading information, spreading facts. That is how you defeat these things. That is how you really make change happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I happen to find that subject fascinating.
I'm with you on it.
Looking at it from a historical perspective or, you know, what's being forecast in the future. So a couple of great resources. If you want to learn about weather and precipitation in general, NOAA, or the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, great resource. They have fantastic historical logs of precipitation. That's where we go to find, you know, how much rain has fallen in any given year or monthly averages. The State Climatology Office. Wisconsin has its own state climatologist. They're ones that are working with climate and climate change. And that's actually part of Extension, even. They just took over the state climatologist position under Extension. So housed down at UW-Madison. Wealth of information on anything related to weather and climate. Great resources. If you're interested in something like rain barrels or rain gardens or what types of vegetation are great to handle wet, our horticulturist and our, you know, UW-Madison has horticulturists scattered around the state. They're a great resource for anything related to that. And then, of course, I'm always available to answer questions, too, related to, you know, rain, precipitation, water. And you can find our information on the UW Extension website.
We'll get that website out to you before we wrap up. Janelle Weir, gardening and horticulture, you know, when she joins us, we've touched on this subject a little bit. So another resource I would tell people is our Midday Magazines. If you go into our archives, all of our shows are podcasted. You can go back and re-listen to other interviews when we've talked with Jen. There's some really great information and conversation in those. Encourage people to learn more about. And if I could just piggyback on what you were saying there, Jen, if you have questions, ask.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, just ask. Ask Extension. Ask these other resources that we have. NOAA is a great resource to go to. It is a serious topic, but it doesn't have to be approached and done completely seriously. You can have some fun learning and understanding more and more of this. And I think with that knowledge, you will not only get some feeling and some empathy for climate change and our planet, but also some like ease and some grace on these subjects of like, oh, this is something we can handle. We just work together and we follow, we do certain things. We can be okay. We can make our community okay and maybe not have a flooded basement.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
That website that Jen mentioned there, it is extension.wisc.edu, extension.wisc.edu. Jen, as we're wrapping up, was there any other notes you want to touch on? Did we cover our bases here?
I think we covered most of it.
Okay.
You know, just it's a great, once you start weather watching, I think you get hooked a little bit.
Yes,
but
yes.
It's a great thing to just to keep your eye on and be aware of, you know, for a lot of different reasons.
Mm-hmm. If people do have follow-up questions and they want to talk with you specifically, Jen, is there a way to reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my contact information will be on the Extension website. Otherwise, you know, you can call the Wood County office and they will direct you. You know, both Janelle and I work out of the Wood County office. So depending on what you have questions for, they usually can direct you in the right place.
Yeah. So. And that website website again is extension.wisc.edu. Also encourage you to follow our friends at Extension on social media. It's a great way to keep up on everything that you guys are all up to. And Jen, you do too good of a job. You got to come back soon. We're looking forward to talking again.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
Thanks for joining us. More Midday Magazine for you tomorrow, everybody. And a big shout out to Pam Hilke and the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out with this. We appreciate you, Pam. Be listening for more great stuff coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.